From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Apple, Disney, Netflix, Facebook, Amazon, all making big moves to become the top content provider in the business. Apple announced yesterday it would spend $1 billion on original content and produce up to 10 new shows over the next year. Disney said last week it will pull its video content from Netflix. As a counterpunch, Netflix has poached producer hitmaker Shonda Rhimes from ABC, which Disney owns. Facebook has launched Facebook Watch. Everybody's streaming. Who comes out on top here? What's it mean for what we see? This hour on Point, the new race to be streaming's content king. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Can you keep up? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Let's go right to L.A. Andrew Wallenstein joins us from Los Angeles, co-editor-in-chief for Variety magazine and its website. He's been following all of this. Andrew, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
So give us the lay of the land in these latest moves. Who are the giants who are moving into what position here over this enormous market for streaming entertainment?
Yeah, it's been quite a past few weeks. There's been a real escalation in what has been a years-long trend of major changes and transformation. Netflix, of course, no stranger to this. They have made some pretty big moves, luring Shonda Rhimes over, who, for those who don't know, is pretty much the most successful TV producer of the last decade. She's worked her magic for ABC, which is owned by Disney. And it just so happens that poaching occurred just a week after Disney had announced it was pulling some of its major titles from Netflix and launching some streaming services of its own. So there's just so much going on here. Not a day goes by where this world doesn't change.
Here's Bob Iger, chairman and CEO of the Walt Disney Corp. Company, telling Dave Westin on Bloomberg Technology last week why Disney has decided to start its own streaming service.
We've seen a pretty dramatic shift in the way media is consumed. It's becoming more and more app-based. You just mentioned as it related to your 15-year-old son. I see it certainly with my kids and my grandkids. And a lot of the app-based consumption is done on over-the-top direct-to-consumer services. We've obviously got the great brands to be able to reach consumers directly because the brands are in demand and there's great passion for them. You need the technology to do that as well.
And they will roll it out there. Over-the-top direct-to-consumer services, what exactly is Disney doing, Andrew?
Well, the Disney that we know today in terms of television comes almost entirely through the traditional pay TV subscription. Sure, there's free over-the-air broadcast, and Disney has ABC in that. But where the big money is made is ESPN, Freeform, Disney Channel, all of which is tied into that traditional pay TV bundle.
Cable.
Now what's going on is Disney is saying, look, we've got to start to put beachheads in this streaming space outside of paid television because as lucrative as that's been, there is a shrinking going on there that is very significant and already impacting Disney.
So they will have, what, a streaming sports service that you can pay for like you could pay for Netflix and a streaming Disney, you know, kind of Lion King and all the rest that you can pay for as well?
That's correct, although I would caution the devil is in the details. I mean, yes, when you've got a brand like Disney, you know you're going to get big things. But the thing is, Disney has so much content and investment tied up already in those traditional channels. I'm sort of taking a wait-and-see attitude to understand just what sports are going to be on this ESPN service that won't be on the regular ESPN channel, what kinds of content they're going to surround with the handful of Disney and Pixar movies that would go on the other streaming service. We'll see.
A wait-and-see attitude, but Netflix is not waiting and seeing. They've now announced that they have, I get poached, or anyway, signed a deal with Shonda Rhimes to bring her whole kind of Shondaland, as you know, Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, and a whole lot more, or into their realm. Here she was in February of last year describing the feelings of being deep in her work during a TED Talk. Shonda Rhimes.
It wasn't until I started making television that I started working and making and building and creating and collaborating that I discovered this thing, this buzz, this rush, this hum. The hum is more than writing. The hum is action and activity. The hum is a drug. The hum is music. The hum is light and air. The hum is God's whisper right in my ear.
And the hum of Shonda Rhimes is now going to Netflix, their chief content officer calling her one of the greatest storytellers in the history of television. What's the deal? What's the significance of the deal, Andrew?
Well, it gives Netflix someone with a proven track record for putting together hit shows on broadcast television. And from what she has talked about in terms of her own decision-making to go over to Netflix is she wants to be freed from the constraints of broadcast television, the commercial breaks, the content restrictions, and she is poised to perhaps deliver the next, who knows, Stranger Things or take your pick of other Netflix-defining shows. She could be the one who supplies those.
Exclusive deal, so she'll leave ABC, move out of the Disney empire and in with Netflix and presumably go right to work developing new shows for them?
Absolutely. Although we should say, though, that Shondaland, her company, still has plenty left in the pipeline over at ABC that will keep them busy for years as well. So it's not quite a full-on pullout.
And then there's Apple announcing it's going to put $1 billion into original content of its own. What's the plan?
That's pretty much all we know. We know that they have these, this billion-dollar figure, 10 shows. They've got some great hires that they've made from various parts of Hollywood to make sure that this happens right. And when you've got a company like Apple, everyone has to be on notice. It's $1 billion sounds like a lot. It's actually not that much in the scheme of what Netflix and Amazon spend on an average year. But still, this could be the very beginning of a major invasion.
And how would Apple distribute its own original content?
They haven't made that entirely clear either. I'm not clear that they even know. I'd say the likeliest suspect is Apple Music, their fast-growing subscription service, which hasn't really been just about music. They've already put a few shows and other kinds of content out there. That said, they've got other pieces they could play with as well, like iTunes. They could launch a completely different service. This is a move that bears watching.
This was Apple CEO Tim Cook in June, his keynote address at the Developers Conference in San Jose, talking about Apple TV, the app.
We recently introduced the TV app on Apple TV, iPhone, and iPad to create the easiest way to discover and enjoy your TV content from across your video channels, all in one convenient place. We launched it with support from just a handful of video channels, but now we have 50 partners integrated into the TV app.
So what does Apple intend to be, Andrew? A host for everybody or a whole lot of people or its own competitor with those?
Would you believe all the above? I think Apple is going to do whatever it can to get video going. And really, there's the larger game that they're playing, which is it's all about keeping their subscribers, their users within that Apple ecosystem of devices, upselling them into other transactions as well. If you think about it, really, this $1 billion for content, it's almost like putting parsley on a plate where the real meal is to be served.
And then there's Facebook Watch. What is that?
Well, if you're a Facebook user, you've noticed in recent years they've very slowly, carefully cranked up the amount of video you see in your Facebook news feed. Think back to a few years ago when the Ice Bucket Challenge first started coming through the feed. They've slowly ramped up over time, and now what you're going to start to see in the coming weeks is they're going to put their first original shows out. I don't think it's necessarily going to be at the budget level that an Apple or a Netflix is doing, but it'll be comparable to maybe what you see on cable TV. I think there's going to be an unscripted series about the Los Angeles basketball phenomenon, Alonzo Ball. And when you're talking about Facebook and the scale they have, their ability and sophistication to target their users with the right content, it's just as significant in this marketplace as Apple's move.
So for a viewer, for someone who wants to be entertained, what does it mean in terms of the consumers sort of working this whole like sprawling garden now of options here? This is not just turn on the TV for broadcast. This is not just buy a cable package. What's it look like from the consumer perspective?
It looks like an explosion of choice, and maybe too much choice at a time that here in Hollywood there's a lot of talk about peak TV, the fact that there's already too many TV series out there. And let's also talk about the fact that, you know, we've just talked about a handful of companies. That doesn't count Hulu.
Yep.
That doesn't count
Amazon.
Twitter is pushing live streaming. Amazon is really just significant as Netflix. Snapchat putting content out there. Not necessarily as much as, say, Netflix is, but especially when you look at Amazon, we cannot discount what their ability is to disrupt this marketplace. And even for Netflix, which is, I think, clearly the leader in this global streaming game, it's Amazon that they're focused on, and let's not forget HBO is out there with their direct product. It's an explosion.
Is this all based on an assumption that people will still watch on big screens at home, or they're going to watch on their mobile, or is there an assumption about where people actually watch?
Again, it's all of the above. But let's go back to what you just said about mobile, because I do think that is the primary driver of all this, where people are seeing on their iPhones and other such devices, the amount of video consumption that is going on worldwide is exploding. As Bob Iger said in that comment you played before, we're moving to a more app-based content experience. However, I also want to make clear that it's not as if the screens in your living room that are 10 feet away from the couch are going out of style anytime soon. Consumption levels are going to be high as well. I think there's this consensus opinion that the pie is just going to get bigger.
Support for this podcast and the following message comes from ZipRecruiter, who understands when you run a business, you've got important decisions to make every day, like hiring. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality candidates simple. With one click at ZipRecruiter.com/OP, you can post your job to 100 leading job sites across the web and manage your candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to hire. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/OP.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Netflix, Disney, Apple, Facebook, Amazon, more, all joining the battle to be content kings, entertainment winners, as Disney says it will start its own streaming services, and Netflix now steals Shonda Rhimes from ABC, part of the Disney empire. Andrew Wallenstein is with us from L.A., co-editor-in-chief of Variety magazine there. He's been following all of this. You can join us as well. What do you see coming? Can you see Apple and Facebook becoming big players here in original content creation side? Will we all leave cable and just stream? Does the golden age of video content get better here or diluted something else? And will Shonda Rhimes keep you in the Netflix realm? Earlier this month, Apple premiered its adaptation of the Late Late Show host James Corden's Carpool Karaoke. Love that. They premiered their adaptation on the Apple Music streaming service, episodes 15 to 20 minutes long. Corden's going to executive produce this series, but it only appears in the pilot episode with Will Smith. Here they are singing along to Will Smith's 1997 hit, Getting Jiggy With It.
I've actually been working on this new sort of surround sound system. Do you want to try it out?
Well, yeah, where we go?
All right, let me try. Hang on.
Why are you rolling the window down?
Hey, fellas, let's do it. Oh. That's right. Okay. Get jiggy with it.
Okay, in comes Apple moving in on this. Things are changing and changing a lot. Mark Zuckerberg foreshadowed this in his keynote speech at the Facebook F8 Developers Conference in San Francisco last year. Walked developers through Facebook's roadmap for the next 10 years, predicted that big changes will come to the way we understand what video is.
I think we can all underestimate just how much the world can change in 10 years. In a decade, video will look like as big of a shift in the way we all share and communicate as mobile has been.
Yeah, that's big. That's as big as it gets, that shift. And here, CNBC talking in May with Netflix CEO Reed Hastings, telling reporter Julia Borstein here he's terrified and impressed by Amazon's ability to move into so many different business areas. Said Amazon's investment in content programming, he said, here is helping the industry grow.
They're so scary. I mean, everything Amazon does is just so amazing. I mean, how are they doing so many different business areas so well? It's like they're trying to repeal the basic laws of business of limited capability. So we're continuing to watch them and be impressed with them. And they're helping to grow the industry because they're investing in the content.
Yeah, well, they're also very scary to some of the players there right now. Andrew Wallenstein, please stand by in L.A. With us from Santa Barbara right now, Jennifer Holt, Associate Professor of Film and Media Studies at the University of California, Santa Barbara. Author of Empires of Entertainment. Jennifer Holt, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And from L.A., Christopher Smith joins us. He is at the Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism at the University of Southern California, co-runs the Media Economics and Entrepreneurship Program there. Christopher Smith, thanks very much for joining us today.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
So can everybody jump in this pool and the pie just gets bigger and the economics and creativity just roll? Does this work, Christopher?
Yes, I think that, as Andrew was saying earlier, I think we're still in an expansion mode of peak TV. There had been sort of murmurs that we were reaching the peak of the audience and the peak of content production, but that's clearly not the case with all of these new technology companies jumping into the fray. The pie is still expanding. At some juncture, you are going to see parallel to that some consolidation take place.
Jennifer, enough eyeballs, enough dollars to support all this? For how long? We read that Netflix is $20 billion in debt. They've had a lot of lost leadership out there.
That's the great question. How long can this keep going? But it as Chris and Andrew both said, it still continues to expand. Great shows are continuing to be made, and everywhere you turn, there's more excellent content. I think everybody will continue to get a somewhat smaller piece of the pie, right? The pie can't just keep growing infinitely, but for now, there's a lot of it to go around and a lot of great shows out there.
We've got a lot of callers for all three of you. John in Columbia, Missouri. John, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to know what the current state or current plans are for the advertising companies and how they kind of plan to get into the streaming paradigm. Because it seems that when you look at cable television, the advertisement to content ratio is pretty high. And I think one of the most liberating things about streaming services is you don't have to deal with advertisements anymore. And it's hard for me to believe that those advertising companies are going to bite that cost. So do you guys know of any plans or any kind of platforms that they're going to try to introduce to this paradigm?
John, we'll look at that. How are you experiencing all this content gusher there in Missouri, John?
I think it's pretty awesome. I think what's going to eventually happen is that it's going to be consolidated. My parents are pretty old school, and I have a hard time seeing that people like that are going to be putting their credit cards in all these different streaming services. I would imagine that most people want kind of one payment, kind of one solution, and then maybe within that platform, you could have a sports kind of section or a sports package or something like that. But I see it being consolidated over time.
You're not so far from the Ozarks there. Are you watching the what is it, Netflix series Ozark?
Yeah, I just finished it. It was pretty good.
John, let us pick it up. Christopher Smith, what do you see coming? There's streaming, and presumably the people will be asked to pay for that. Then there's advertising. We've seen how that dance has changed from broadcast to cable. With all this move into streaming, what happens with the advertising realm?
Well, I think that you're going to have several large streaming giants that kind of service the market in a comprehensive manner. We already kind of know who those are likely to be: Amazon, Hulu, and Netflix. And then there's going to be a tremendous battle for what's left of the streaming market. A lot of players are going to bet on more identity-based niche offerings. Perhaps Apple and others will be part of that. And I think as far as advertising is concerned, I think that Facebook is going to be the 800-pound gorilla where tethering streaming video to advertising is concerned. They're already the advertising Goliath in the digital realm, along with Google, and they're working mightily to make video better serve audiences and better serve advertisers. So I think that Facebook Watch is part of Mark Zuckerberg's grand paradigm to kind of own what advertising means on the internet.
But how does Facebook connect its advertising to the offerings of all these others, Amazon, Hulu, Netflix, whatever they're putting out? Is there a connection, or you're talking a separate realm of video?
Well, I'm just saying that they're trying to keep users on Facebook by whatever means, whether it's messaging, video consumption, scrolling the news feed, whatever it is, they want people to stay on Facebook and its ancillary products. And if video is a method to magnetize audiences, they're going to go full bore into video. And then the advertising will be part of, the integrated Facebook experience.
Jennifer, do you see advertising becoming decoupled from dramatic streaming offerings? You know, the content, that the kind of thing that Shonda Rhimes makes here? If it's streamed, does it mean it's less of an ad vehicle? And Christopher says, Facebook gets into that by other means?
You know, this is a great topic. There's a few different ways to offer streamed content, right? There's the subscription model, which is Netflix, where you pay a fee every month and you don't have to have ads. But there's also ad-supported streaming, mm-hmm. where you actually are very captive and you can't forward through those ads. You have to watch them. Mm-hmm. So if you're watching on, for example, a cable provider's platform on your iPad or something like that, or streaming from abc.com, you have to watch those ads. You're not really able to bypass them. And then there's also the model where you know, the electronic sell-through model, where you just purchase the show, mm-hmm. and you also can avoid ads. So if you're kind of caught up in the model where you still need to be ad-supported, you're very much going to be watching ads, and a lot of them are provided by companies that are also data analytics organizations. You know, Facebook and Netflix know more about you than you really want to know, and that's where they are able to actually make a lot of their money, on all of this big data about your preferences and about your basic information. And so I don't think that streamed content will be decoupled from advertising entirely anytime soon, because
Andrew
there's
Wallenstein,
a lot of money to be made.
Yeah, sure. Andrew, Netflix gained a lot of customers by going very low cost relatively. And there it was. You just watched it. Forget about the ads. You could just watch. Now they've got lots of kinds of competition. What about Netflix momentum here? And what about that $20 billion in debt they're sitting on? Is that a chain around their leg?
I think Netflix is making a very risky bet that some analysts are quite skeptical about, which is they've globally now have about 100 million subscribers, and they're going to need to keep on this torrid pace of subscriber growth in order to be able to pay that debt down, which, you know, there's a very real possibility they could do if that growth continues.
If. That's $20 million, but here they go. They got Shonda Rhimes under their tent. Don in Charlotte, North Carolina. Don, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm a retired broadcaster, so I understand how this works. We're a long way from Ricky Ricardo and Lucy having to keep one foot on the floor.
Yeah. Let's just explain that. Back in the old days, they had to keep one foot on the floor, which meant you could never get two people fully in bed. That's what that was about, Don.
It wasn't even a double bed. They were twin beds. Good luck with that.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that.
So my comment is a couple of things. First of all, the bottom line is the bottom line. So I assume we can expect a lot more rough language and a lot more nudity as well. And as far as covering the cost of these things, I'm going to guess that product placement is going to be huge in all of these shows, because advertisers love product placement almost more than they love paying for ads. They pay the same amount of money, but the exposure is like everybody goes, hey, look, a box of Cheerios.
Yeah, yeah. Let us pick it up, Don. I mean, Jennifer, Don raises a good point. You go to streaming, you're no longer being broadcast, you're not even on cable. We've seen how we've had more sex, more nudity, more rough language. Do we just go further down that road? When Shonda Rhimes goes from ABC to Netflix, she's unshackled from all those constraints.
It's true. You know, people like Shonda Rhimes, though, have a tremendous amount of power because of her brand and because of her success. So it will be an interesting push-pull game to see how much she can be pushed to integrate things like product placement. I anticipate not much. There were also, you know, that trend had been happening for a while, and there were shows and performers who were much better at it than others. You know, I'm thinking of Stephen Colbert and the kind of humor with which he used to integrate product placement a lot of times, or 30 Rock, that show did it.
Yeah.
In a really funny way. I think viewers are too savvy to have one pulled over, have a fast one pulled on them at this point. So it's going to have to be done through humor or through a kind of a wink and a nod at the audience. Otherwise, they're just kind of too smart for that at this point.
And what about the steam and spice and rough language and sex level as people go more and more to streaming where there are fewer restraints? Are we just going to become accustomed to that as being mainstream entertainment now?
Oh, probably. I mean, this was the same thing that happened when cable came on the scene. I remember, you know, NYPD Blue with Stephen Bochco. Stephen Bochco said, well, we have to do this more now. And, you know, they were the first. They had nudity. There were a lot of naked butts on the screen on ABC, which became a problem much later. They actually got sued for it after the show was off the air, but that's another story. But they, you know, they felt a lot of pressure because of the freedoms that cable had from certain content regulations to integrate more kind of violence and language that would titillate the audience or interest the audience and keep their audience, you know, watching their shows instead of flipping the channel.
Is there any move afoot to bring restraint into the streamed world as more and more of the population goes there to try and keep the old standards somehow in place? Not Ricky Ricardo style, maybe, but something? Or that's just no one's even talking about it, Jennifer?
I missed the first part. Did you say move the foot? You mean the foot from the bed?
From the floor, yeah. Is there any move to try and impose on this new realm some of the cultural restraints and, you know, restraints on content that we had in the broadcast era?
Oh, I don't see any. I mean, I'm, you know, look at kind of the content on like Orange is the New Black or any of the, you know, really hot streaming shows. They go places that you would never see on even cable. So I think pushing it as far as it can be pushed and pushing those boundaries is good entertainment. I don't see that stopping anytime soon.
Where we're headed, I guess. Chelsea in Annapolis, Maryland. Chelsea, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi there. I called in because I heard what you were saying earlier about how the, you know, people aren't just going to sit there on their little screens. We're going to be watching TV and things like that. Doesn't seem like that's going away. So my husband and I are very budget conscious, and we have a projector hooked up to a computer. So we have like a movie theater experience in our house, but we only subscribe to Amazon Prime. And then we have a TV tuner, so we can get CBS or some other channels. We have friends who have HBO Go or Netflix, so we're able to use those. And we all kind of support each other, and we're able to stream everything that we want without having to worry about, you know, the ridiculous prices that that Dish Network and those networks are trying to charge.
Well, it sounds like you're very creative in the way you get around that cost structure, Chelsea, and I appreciate your call. That's a vivid description there. Christopher, do you expect more people are going to try and figure out sort of guerrilla ways of climbing through this jungle of options out there? If you just step up and pay for everything, you end up paying a lot.
Yeah, I think over time, in the near term, I think there's going to be a new appreciation for the actual value that the cable bundle offered consumers. You know, the relationship, you know, the ratio between choice and price. People are going to be nostalgic for the kind of value that the cable bundle offered. That's not going to be enough to incentivize them not to cut the cord. But I think there is going to be an appreciation for that. I think also the Wall Street Journal recently reported that millennial consumers are realizing that free over-the-air TV with an antenna actually exists, and antenna sales are going up. So consumers are getting very creative and inventive and resourceful trying to navigate this ecosystem.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about the grand battle that's going on right now for who's going to be content king. Netflix and Disney and Apple and Facebook, Amazon, Hulu, more out there really leaning in hard these days. News in the last couple of weeks, Disney is going to have its own streaming services. Netflix has essentially poached Shonda Rhimes, the great creator from ABC, part of the Disney empire. You can join us. What do you see coming? Is this good for you as a viewer? How many streams are you prepared to pay attention to pay for? Jennifer Holt is with us from University of California at Santa Barbara in film and media studies there. Christopher Smith is with us from L.A. He's at the Annenberg School for Communication, Journalism, and USC there. Andrew Wallenstein is with us, co-editor-in-chief at Variety Magazine, also with us from Los Angeles today. Big news about Shonda Rhimes coming over. She broke out in 2005 with Grey's Anatomy. It remains ABC's highest-rated drama. Here's a scene from season 6 finale, aired in 2010. Surgeon Christina Yang, Sandra Oh, tries to save the life of a man as she's held at gunpoint by a rogue shooter.
Stop fixing him. Let him die. Let him lie there and die. Do you want me to shoot you?
Stop fixing him! No.
Christina.
No. Jackson, clamp the hilum so you can get control of the hemorrhage so I can get better visualization.
Don't you dare.
Clamp the hilum so I can see.
Clamp the hilum. High drama there on Grey's Anatomy, now returning for its 14th season next month. It will continue to air on ABC. Lots of players here, though. Margaret Atwood's screen adaptation of her book, The Handmaid's Tale. Must-watch series on Hulu in July. Dystopian drama nominated for 13 Emmy Awards. So many players here. Here's narration from protagonist Ofred, played by Elizabeth Moss in the series trailer.
I was asleep before. That's how we let it happen. When they slaughtered Congress, we didn't wake up. When they blamed terrorists and suspended the Constitution, we didn't wake up then either. Now I'm awake. My name is Ofred. I had another name.
All kinds of competition going off in all kinds of directions. Christopher Smith, I wonder where you think the thrust of content will go with all these players. Are we going to see more political dramas, Handmaid's Tale style, more comedy, slapstick? Is there a direction that you can feel the industry yearning to go to try and win viewers in this new competition?
Well, it's not exactly Shakespeare, but I would say that competitive reality is going to continue to, have staying power.
Competitive reality? You mean The Bachelor? What do you mean by that?
Shows like that, The Bachelor, Top Chef, Project Runway, shows of that ilk where you have to be tuned in to kind of be in sync with how the competition is playing out. Those shows, among all the shows this past summer, those shows performed the best. Most other shows are not performing very well. Facebook saying that they want to get into the reality game. Apple's going to get into the reality game. Reality is cheap to make. It draws young audiences. It's friendly to advertisers. Do not underestimate the power of competitive reality. Also, another theme that hasn't been brought up that Shonda Rhimes and Shondaland sort of signify, you're going to get more multicultural diversity in the streaming ecosystem. I think Ted Sarandos and Netflix have done an amazing job sort of making diversity an integral part of what their brand represents, and they're winning because of it. And I think that Facebook and other entities get into the mix and try to get that young consumer, they're going to try to replicate some of that, whether it's through influencers, a diverse array of influencers or whatever. You're going to get more multicultural diversity.
That will reflect the country. Andrew Wallenstein, do you see differentiation emerging here? Who's going to have reality TV? Who's going to have, Shakespeare equivalents? Who's going to have diversity? Will we know each of these for different ilk of content?
That is a big question that I don't have the answer to, and I would probably take a more pessimistic take. While I do agree with Christopher, I think diversity is going to happen in a big way. It's the right thing to do. It's good business to do. I do think, at least in the early going, as you see these new players come in, their inclination, their interest in doing things that are different and experimental may be muted because well, they want to succeed. And that goes with being doing the tried and true kinds of content. So I think in the early going, I think we're going to see more of the same.
Harry in Cornish, New Hampshire. Harry, you're on. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thanks, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wanted to call and check in because I've been working with Amazon. Amazon's turning books that I created with Doreen Cronin. The series is going to be called The Bug Diaries. And, you know, as an artist, as somebody who creates characters and then somebody opts it out and wants to make a movie or a TV series, you're always really concerned about how that's going to play out. But I have to say, Amazon has been absolutely remarkable. I mean, they have these educational experts. They have a fantastic animation studio. They brought us into New York. They show me the designs. I'm able to, you know, comment on them. The writers are brilliant. I mean, they've taken our initial books that were very successful, and they've really transcended them. They've pushed them into a whole new direction. And I can't get over how impressed I am with Amazon. I didn't anticipate this happening, but
who knew the place where you might buy your next bag of dog food? But they're going to have made you say a great experience out of the Bug Diaries, it's called, Harry.
Yeah, well, their children's programming is the part of Amazon that I'm speaking of. But yeah, they, like I said, they are very meticulous and very careful about getting it right. And I'm really impressed.
This is good to hear. Jennifer Holt, talk about a golden age of television. It must be a golden age for creators and creatives and producers and all the rest. I mean, is there enough talent out there to feed in a high-quality way all of these pipelines?
Absolutely. I think there's always been an artificial shortage of talent in the market, right? The same very small handful of people continue to get work. And, you know, as the guilds will always tell you, a massive percentage of professionals remain unemployed. And there's more work and there's more quality scripts and more quality programs out there than ever now. I think Netflix has also signaled a kind of openness to creatives in the way that they've kind of foregone the pilot process and they just greenlight a show and don't, you know, kind of force that piece of the process to happen, which gives their creatives some more freedom and a little more signaling of trust in them. So to me, it is the best time to be in TV.
Andrew,
really.
What's it mean, do you think, Andrew, that they brought Shonda Rhimes over? Is that a vote against the creative capacity of lots of others who aren't in the game already? Or is it just, we want a blockbuster maker and we want her in our stable now?
It's real nice to have a blockbuster maker, though. You know, we should also caution that, you know, no great TV producer stays great forever and consistently and hits everything out of the park.
Yeah,
it's entirely possible that Shonda Rhimes will not have the same success that she had at Disney, and she certainly has had her share of failures at ABC.
Josh in Berwick, Maine. Josh, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
All right. What's your story?
I just want to echo the quality of the streaming video services out right there, the quality of the programming. I think it's amazing. And, you know, flipping through cable, it just seems like reality shows and advertising that's assaulting your senses. And, you know, I have a cable box and I remodeled my home and haven't hooked it back up. It's been about 6 months. And I just recently called the cable company to disconnect my cable but keep the broadband, and they told me that it was cheaper to keep the cable box, so there it sits collecting dust.
But you're still paying for it, Josh. How long are you going to do that?
Well, they said it's cheaper to keep the cable with the internet than to get rid of the cable.
So they're
giving me it, so I'm just keeping the cable and not even hooking it up because the streaming is so much better out there.
People are going to have all kinds of decisions to make on how they set up to go with this. Appreciate your call from Maine, Josh. Let's get one from Key West, Florida. Dexter, thank you for calling, Dexter. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yes, CBS All Access is coming up very soon in September with Star Trek Discovery streaming that. Only the first episode will be on CBS local channels. And then right after the first episode, they're streaming the other episodes, the other 10 or 11 episodes, only on their CBS All Access streaming service.
So is this one more thing to pay for, Dexter? You have to buy the streaming service? Is that the deal?
That's it. And my son, of course, is all over me to sign up and pay for it. And we already have Netflix, Amazon, it gets crazy after a while.
A bushel basket full. Andrew, what's the deal with CBS All Access? How's that work? What are they offering? Do you know?
Yeah, I'm glad the caller brought that up. CBS All Access is basically some select original programs like the Star Trek that he mentioned that will only be on the CBS TV station just once before it's exclusively on streaming. And it also you're able to access a much deeper back catalog of what CBS has on air. And it's a good example of a traditional business model giving itself some flexibility to play in the streaming space, kind of having its cake and eating it too. But there's also this larger issue that the caller brought up that I think is very important, which is as more and more streaming options multiply, are we really going to see the average consumer take 2, 3, 4, or 5 of these? If that happens, they'll run into the same kind of sticker shock that the traditional pay TV model provides. So that's a real point to watch.
I mean, Christopher, you say you think people are going to miss the old cable package. Is it for that reason it's going to add up to so much money as you start, you know, mounting different streams all coming into the house?
Yeah, I mean, at some point, you know, you are going to reach the point of diminishing returns for all these different offerings. That's why, you know, at some juncture, a new kind of aggregator, a dominant aggregator will be out there. And I do think that Facebook is well positioned to prosper in this new streaming environment. They're already the dominant place where we spend the bulk of our time, either on Instagram, on Facebook, on one of the messaging apps. And I think that if they can get the video mix right, they can become a place where we spend an inordinate amount of our time through a variety of different services. And so I think they're very well positioned for what's going to come next.
Do you think, Jennifer, that that's what Mark Zuckerberg is talking about when we heard him on that tape say things can change a lot in 10 years? Facebook looking to use its muscle to bring the major video streams through its portal.
Yeah, I mean, they've had deals with other companies already, right? They were showing some Warner Brothers videos before. I don't think that kind of panned out as they had hoped, but I definitely think they have access to billions of eyeballs, and they plan to use what information they have about us and tailor that content exactly to your stream. And I think he has big plans for the expansion of that platform in that direction.
Ron in Newport, Rhode Island. Ron, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Tom. I just want to say that I think that the opportunities to get the best of broadcast TV and all of these streaming options are going to make the world much better for consumers. And I think part of the whole thing is going to be related to a show that you did last week on making the internet more open and more available. And quite frankly, I spent about $400 and $500 on a high def TV antenna. I've got a TiVo that records everything I can see on broadcast. I've got an Amazon Fire Stick, an Apple TV, and a computer hooked up to my TV, and I can find anything I want, and it's better content than what I used to get on the local cable company with the lame cable TV box.
Yeah, but hey, Ron, does that mean we all have to be like super computer geeks to figure out how to harvest this great harvest?
No. There's a new generation of devices that you're going to see appear. There's a company I saw recently called Kabu that actually can monitor what's streaming and what's available on broadcast and what's available on each one of these devices so that it will automatically identify this stuff by what's already connected up to your TV making it even simpler. I mean, right now you need to change between the various inputs of your TV.
Right.
You've got all these different devices.
Yeah.
In the future, it's going to be so much easier, and I think the future is, you know, weeks away, not months away.
Ron, I appreciate your call. Andrew, if somebody can come in and sort of with an uber embrace of consolidating all this and make it super easy to use, that would be irresistible.
Irresistible, and I fear it's going to be not weeks or months away. I think this notion of one aggregator coming in makes a lot of sense, but there's a lot of business obstacles mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, these are all about competing ecosystems. They want to keep you in one place and not the competitors. So the notion of a Facebook or Google, a company that we really haven't talked enough about in this conversation, being this sort of one-stop shop, I'll believe it when I see it.
Jennifer, does it leave us better off? I mean, everybody's watching their own thing, and heaven knows where these days. Are we better off as a – we may be more entertained, but are we better off as a cultured, or do we just fly apart?
More options are better. I'm keeping my eye, though, on Apple and hardware companies that control the devices. That's what I'm going to be thinking about in terms of who's going to control just not only the content, but what we get to watch it on.
Wow. It is a battle royal and so many angles of competitive advantage. You don't know who's going to come out on top. Is it hardware? Is it aggregation? Is it Google somehow in the midst of all this? We barely touched it. Really interesting. It's exploding right now. Jennifer Holt at UC Santa Barbara, thank you so much for being with us today to look at it, Jennifer.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Christopher Smith, USC, Annenberg School. Thanks for joining us, Christopher.
Thanks, Tom.
And Andrew Wallenstein at Variety. Thanks so much for being here from L.A.
Anytime.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.